Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. So the election of Lionel and Jameer, how does this reflect, I guess, the mindset of the Nauruan people right now?
Look, to be honest, it's quite difficult to say. You know, the history of the Nauruan kind of political system is one of corruption, and it has a kind of funny form of democracy particular to Nauru. And so I'd like to be hopeful that that the appointment of a human rights lawyer, Lionel Anagmir, could be, you know, a positive step forward, and with people being unhappy about the, you know, the detention center system. But you know, he was part of the Wacker's cabinet, Baron Wacker's cabinet, and he was the assistant minister for justice and border control. So he was kind of overseeing these 60 years of what was essentially some pretty, you know, drastic measures towards refugees and asylum seekers. You know, we had people being raped, we had people being assaulted. You know, I wrote a book which covered the fire which burnt down the detention center, where a huge amount of people were arrested without trial and detained there. So I'd like to think that this is a positive step forward, and I'm hopeful that it is, but I think it's very difficult to tell at such an early stage, and it'll be interesting to see what will come in the next years.
Well, I guess one of the difficulties when talking about politics here from Australia, in terms of the perspective we have here, is maybe the risk of overstating the Australian perspective on this. I mean, Nauru is only a very small country within itself, you know, not necessarily a lot going on, but at the same time, we may be overstating Australia's importance, because we only really see Nauru as this offshore processing detention centre and nothing else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, within Nauru, from my experiences, I haven't been there in a number of years, but while I was there and the writing I've done since, there was a lot of divided opinions around the detention centre. It provided a huge amount of jobs, it boosted the economy, and so, you know, there was a lot of, you know, positives to take out of it, but I think at the same time, there was a lot of people who opposed what was happening there. They saw it as a bad means of taking money, and they didn't like the way that the refugees were treated. Throughout that period, the relationship is kind of, I think, there's been, you know, mixed reactions. There's been, you know, people who've supported the refugees and people who haven't. And so, you know, we look at it through this lens, like you said, of all about the detention center, but there may be a huge amount of other issues going on in Nauru that might have affected this. You know, Baron Wacker had protests against him from groups of politicians called the Nauru 19. They had a pretty essentially the Australian judge, he was called Jeffrey Mwecki. He said that there was the way that they targeted these group of politicians was a shameful affront to the rule of law. So, you know, there was other things going on in Nauru that might be affecting this just as much as the detention centre.
And obviously, when we talk about the detention centre itself, my understanding is it's still being kept as operational, but has basically a population of zero. So realistically, with the distaste for it here and with this change in leadership, I mean, is it just over? Are we done talking about Nauru as an offshore processing centre?
I would disagree with that. I think there's still a number of refugees who remain on the island, although they're not necessarily housed all the time in the detention centre. Mm. They still have these temporary protection visas. Their fate still has to be decided. They're not going to be there permanently, so they say. And so there's still, you know, issues that are unresolved with that detention centre. But also that, you know, the policy still remains, and people could be returned. You know, people could be sent to Nauru prison at any point. You know, if boats start to resume, that's kind of the threat that remains. You know?
And obviously, when we talk about those people that are still on the island, Australia largely seems to want to wash their hands of it and say, well, they're Nauru's problem now. Nauru obviously quite rightfully sees them as Australia's responsibility, given the kinds of charters we've signed in the past when we look to trying to do something good. This change in leadership, how is it likely to affect kind of negotiations between the two governments?
Again, I think it's too early to tell. I don't know if there will be a huge push to remove the people from the island. I think Australia still wields a lot of power there in terms of what's happening to the refugees. And so, you know, we've had other former Nauruan prime ministers speak out against it and say that they regret what's been happening. Let's hope that that this will be, you know, the kind of attitude that Nauru takes from here going forward.
Well, Mark, it will be an interesting one to keep our eyes on. I do appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thanks.